Today on Real Radio.
The area of Iraq today is going to somehow be rebuilt and become a major commercial focus of the world. I don't know how that's going to happen. But the ships, listen, whoever it is, they have to have access to the sea. And don't underestimate Iraq's little tiny sliver of land where they export vast majority of the world's oil out from that Gulf.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. In chapter 18, which is the basis for our current study, we are told of yet another angel or messenger proclaiming that Babylon the Great is fallen. Now this is the well-known passage where the voice from heaven says, "Come out of her, my people." Well, there are those who don't, and they're going to be sorry because, as the text indicates, destruction takes place in 1 hour. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his presentation called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand.
In 1 hour, Revelation 18:9 says, Revelation 18:17 says, "For in 1 hour such great riches have come to nothing." Wow. I think of the company, I heard the precious woman of the accountant for this firm in New York City. The whole company was wiped out, almost every one of them. I heard her speak in New York City on September 11th, and her husband called her to say, "We can't get out of the building. They told us that they can't rescue us." And his name was Al. And she says, "What are you going to do, honey?" By the way, he had been in retirement, and the corporation asked him to come back. He came back, and he was working, and he says, "I'm going to give him Jesus, so pray for me." And he set his phone down, and he starts preaching Jesus Christ to a little over 100 employees. They all gathered around because they had, please listen. They were given the announcement by the New York City Fire Department, "We can't reach you. You're going to die." Everybody laid down their computers, they laid down their wallets, they laid down their ties, they laid down their power, and they sat down, and Al gave them Jesus Christ. Why? A death sentence had been given. What do you do in that moment? You give them Christ. You give them Jesus. They can make a decision and change their eternal destiny. And Al and all of his workers came down in that North Tower. You got to wonder how many of them went to heaven, huh? I told you about a man who was in the Century 21 building that I had a chance to meet, who stood, he was running, he was on the opposite side. That building still stands today. Opposite side of the World Trade Center. When the planes hit, he began to run. Everybody evacuated the office, and God spoke to him and said, "Turn around and go to the window." He went back to the window, and he stood there. That 21st century building stands in the shadow of the World Trade Centers. And as he was standing there, he saw human bodies go by as jumpers were leaping. And God told him, "Pray as they go." Why would God tell them to pray as they go? Why would he tell this man, "Stay, pray as you see them fall"? Why? Because, my friend, I believe in a God who's there at the last minute, the last second for your soul. God doesn't waste anything. And if this man was praying for their souls, that tells me that there was at least one person. By the way, I think it was 66. He stood there and prayed for 66 bodies as they went by. And then God says, "Now go." And he ran out of the room all alone after everybody had been rescued. He was all alone. Why at that number? I don't know why, but God knows why. Why did God have him pray? I don't know, but God knows why. Could it be that those 56 or 25 or 9 or 1 person going down said, "Jesus, save me"? Judgment comes in an hour. Look at verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication lived luxuriously with her and lamented for her. Well, it's not that they were in love with her. They were in love with what they got out of her. Now, what's interesting is that they're crying out, they lament. When they see the smoke of her burning, standing, verse 10, at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come." Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth did weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. Or buys their merchandise, excuse me, anymore. Not her merchandise. They're crying because nobody buys their merchandise anymore. This system, and I'm going to tell you, I stand kind of out there on this. Stand kind of alone on this. A lot of people think and say this is New York City, here mentioned in Scripture. That the Americans, via New York, they don't buy China stuff anymore. They're wiped out. That the shipmasters of the sea, well, what are we going to do? That this vast area has been destroyed. Who's going to buy our stuff? See, that's why they're crying. Man, we lost a major client here. I don't believe it's America. I don't believe it's England. I don't believe it's the European Union that's going to be based in Europe, or is based in Europe. I believe something radical. Because the Bible mentions Babylon, because ancient Babylonianism began in Babylon, because I know the religious system is going to be in Rome. It already said that in chapter 17. And in a spiritual sense, it's going to reveal to us in future studies, it's the spiritual context is that in Jerusalem, politically based in Rome, spiritually based in Jerusalem, when the Antichrist declares himself to be God, where does he do that, the Bible says? In Jerusalem. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What's my odd belief? I believe literally in the Bible. I believe it's going to be Babylon. I believe it's going to be Iraq. You say, are you nuts? I might be nuts. But you know what? I base this upon the Bible. I think somehow, I don't know how, but somehow the area of Iraq today is going to somehow be rebuilt and become a major commercial focus of the world. I don't know how that's going to happen. But the ships, listen, whoever it is, they have to have access to the sea. And don't underestimate Iraq's little tiny sliver of land where they export vast majority of the world's oil out from that gulf. Somehow, I believe it is actually talking about our today Iraq. That's ancient Babylon. I believe that the world is going to pour its rebuilding efforts into Iraq, and it's going to explode. That's why I think they're going to give glory to the Antichrist. It's going to look so amazing, like God couldn't have done this. Only man could have done this. And look, if Nimrod built the Tower of Babel, then Mr. Antichrist built the Tower of Economic Commerce, and the world's going to be duped. They're going to say, who's like this guy? Look, you guys, are you with me? I'm not asking you to agree with me. I know it's radical, but check it out. The world is going to hail him as God. That's in the Bible. Something really big is going to come down for them, the world, to hail him as God in human flesh. Isn't that radical? Something to think about. Keep your eye on Iraq. It's going to get built up, and it's going to become an economic commerce center, in my opinion. And Europe is going to have a lot to do with it. I know they don't right now. But just wait till this current president gets out of office. Watch what happens to the European Union and Iraq when George Bush leaves office. It's going to blow your mind. Well, check this out. Look at verse 11. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Everyone get ready. Get your shopping list out, because we're going to go to the Mall of America. I mean, a Mall of the World. We're going to the Mall of the World. First floor, jewelry department, verse 12. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls. Notice this. This is import-export talk. The ships bring it in. You say, well, Iraq doesn't have pearls. They will. Or whatever area this, they're going to have pearls shipped in. They're going to have gold. They're going to have silver. You see this? Do you see how specific the Bible is? The ships, are you guys with me? You're so quiet. Are you here? I'm sorry, I'm excited about this. The ships are going to come from all over the world bringing what? They're going to be bringing gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls. Because no one buys them anymore, that's why the ship sailors are all ticked off. Okay, what else are they ticked off about? Well, the elevator opens up to the second floor. Linens and things. Fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet. Check that out. Don't tell me that's not important. I was at Great Indoors last night while Lisa's trying to, is this one on sale? They're having a sale. Is this sheet on sale? How about this? Is this duvet comforter? Is this one on sale? I told her, you know what? We got to go. You guys, you women are amazing. So you're feeling like this. Is it talking to you when you do that? What do you do when you, fine linen. And I see her gears going. We didn't even go there for that. We went there for a dishwasher. You know, it's sad. I saw a lot of you there, too. We were talking. And she's like, what do you think of this? What do I think of this? What do you mean, what do I think of this? I don't know, think anything about that. I don't think about this. It's nothing to think about. White is great. White. Just get white. You know, and that's weird. The door rings, the door opens again, shopping at the third floor, home furnishings, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. That's home furnishings. That's the expo store. No one buys this stuff anymore from that system. Look, it's a system that is going to need all this stuff. Don't underestimate Iraq. If it's built up, it's going to need condos and houses and golf courses and sprinkler supplies and concrete, electrical, trees. Man, it needs trees. All that stuff. Look, we stop in the mall. We go to the fourth floor, gourmet food. We all love this one. Have you noticed every mall has got a food court in it now? I don't know how gourmet it is, but there's some pretty cool stuff you can buy. Look at this. At this mall, you can get cinnamon, incense. I don't know what to do with that. Frankincense, oil. Wine, fine flour, wheat, a little health food store thing going there. Little Henry's Market happening. Look at the next floor, fifth floor, automotive section. Transportation, cattle, sheep, horses. And there it is for the BMW, chariots. No one buys this stuff anymore. You guys, yesterday I saw a BMW 76iU. I've never seen one before in my life. The guy was getting it washed at the car wash. It looked like a spaceship. What is it? A 760iU. And it came out of the car wash, and people are going, what is this? And everyone's looking at it. It had a total custom paint job, these whacked out wheels. I mean, it looks crazy. And there's this guy, he had to be 24 years old. And he's got his headphones are almost flying off his head, and he had a sweatsuit on. He's probably a professional athlete. He's about 6'5", too short to be a basketball player, but maybe he's one of the Angel baseball or Dodger. But and his car's coming out, and he's, and the guy got done, and everyone's looking at this thing, and he gets in it, and just takes away. Everyone's looking, whoa. Hey, when this thing comes crashing down, BMW will not be selling cars to Baghdad or Iraq. And the Bavarian Motor Works are going to go, man, no one buys our stuff anymore. In 1 hour, all this stuff happened. Messed up our everything. Look at the final floor. This is the worst floor of all. They traffic in the bodies and the souls of men. This is a very difficult passage to interpret, because if you pick up an old book, I got a book that's about 300 years old, and I went to a commentary on this topic. And the guy says here that just as slavery ravages our world today, slavery will ravage the world then. Well, that was from his perspective. More modern-day scholars with more evidence have found out that the words here constructed allude to marketing and selling people based upon desire. Ooh, that sounds awful scary in international trade today. What's one of the biggest markets in black market trading, especially when the curtain came down, the Iron Curtain? Russia began exporting beautiful women to the world in the black market for sale, thousands of dollars based upon their shape and their youth. Did you know that? Sad to say, do you know what nation bought more Russian women than anyone? No, not America, Israel. Isn't that a shock? I thought that shocked me. Second was the Oriental countries. Trafficking in the souls of, in the bodies of men. A lot of modern day Bible scholars say that this word also refers to the fact of pornographic lifestyle and trade, using people as slaves. And for that, America is number one in the world. The city of Los Angeles, specifically, of all things, the city of Northridge, has more pornographic manufacturing studios than any place on the planet. Did you know that? You got to wonder if that earthquake ever had anything to do with it. Verse 16 says, "And alas, the great city is clothed in fine linen and purple and adorned with all these precious stones and pearls, for in one hour her great riches come to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade upon the sea, stood at a distance." They're scared to death. Verse 18, "And they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust in their heads and cried out." These are obviously these who are standing on the earth, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, that great city in which all the ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she's made desolate. Verse 20, "Rejoice." Notice the shift. The announcement goes to heaven now. "Rejoice, O over her, O heaven, and you apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Then a mighty angel stood up with a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. And listen to what he said. "Thus with violence the great city Babylon will be thrown down and shall not be found anymore." We know this is prophetic, my friend. Mark it. There'll be some that try to deceive you. It will never again be inhabited. Right now it is. That means this event in Revelation still has to happen. There are people saying that the book of Revelation is already completed. That's impossible, based upon just this verse alone. "The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in her anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of the millstone shall not be found in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery..." Wow. This is why I lean back towards Babylon. "By your demonic doctrines, the ancient Babylonian system, all the nations were deceived. And, or but, in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth." Verse 24 speaks about that Babylonian system in all of its totality. Wow. What a tremendous stuff. What bad news. What a horrible chapter for those who will endure this. Don't you agree? How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. We're all done. Raise your hand. Look at you. You're not going to see this chapter. We're going to miss it. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the church is removed from the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 tells us that the Lord's going to come back without us knowing about it. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, he's going to take his church up and receive them unto himself. And then will be the fulfillment of that time of great tribulation. And Jesus said in Luke 21:36, "Pray that you'll be found to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth." How do you escape those things? Listen, will persecution come? Yes. Is it now coming? Yes. Is it coming to us? It's rolling. It's on its way. Those of you who are Lord of the Rings fans, By the way, written by a Christian, J.R.R. Tolkien, wonderful believer in God, had a great influence over leading C.S. Lewis to Christ. Tolkien, The Lord of the Rings, you ever seen those movies? I don't recommend them for little kids, I freak them out. The Lord of the Rings was Tolkien's understanding after reading the book of Revelation, the forces behind the natural world in which we see. That's why it's that middle, strange underworld. He viewed that as the world that played with the players upon the earth. And in one of those movies, I don't know which one it is, there is a darkness that's rolling across the land, and it's eating up everything. Evil is coming, my friend. Darkness is coming. Could we suffer difficult days? Yes, but it has nothing to do with the Great Tribulation period. Could we be attacked? My friend, our brothers and sisters were attacked yesterday, wasn't it? Where were those people killed in church? Minnesota. Gunned down in worship. How many are dead? Anybody know now this morning? Six are dead. Could be more. There's a lot of people hurt. In church. It was not the Great Tribulation for them. God didn't let them down. There's evil in the world. You might say this morning, well, I got time. How do you know if there's not gunmen waiting outside this building? How do you know if there's not a banana you're going to slip on and break your neck? Just off the site of the property. How do you know you're going to go home today? I'm sorry, this week I'm standing there and standing in the bathroom, Lisa's standing there, and I had this sharp pain right here. And I grabbed my chest and she goes, what's the matter with you? I go, I'm just having a real stabbing pain in my chest. And she goes, oh. You know. Generated a huge response on her part. But I'm going, and my first thought was, Lord, please, if this is it, make it it. And I said in my mind, I don't want to drool for the next 4 years. Make it a big one, God. Why? Because I'm going to heaven, my friend. You might say, well, you're very fatalistic. Oh, no, I'm the most optimistic person that you want to be around. Because, my friend, I hope Jesus comes back today. I can't get any more optimistic than that. I can't wait.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, concluding a study of Revelation 18 called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand. Join us on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we begin a look at the next chapter. Remember, if you'd like to hear this broadcast once again, or any recent edition of Real Radio, visit us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. There you can listen to the broadcast again, as many times as you like, or download it to hear it at a time that's most convenient for you. You can also become a podcast subscriber to Real Radio, and there's no charge for any of this. Contact us by telephone at 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. And if you've been enjoying Real Radio, remember that you can make a tax-deductible contribution to our radio fund. You may do so online, call us, or send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.